I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal, before this decade is out, of landing a man on the moon and
sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners. Will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood?
This is the BBC Home Service. It is with deep regret that we announce that President Kennedy is dead.
He died in the hospital after being cut down by an assassin's bullet while his motorcade was moving
the
along.
The Beatles!
I have just come from the palace where Her Majesty invited me to form an administration.
What we are seeing now in Vietnam in the present campaign.
I shall not see, and I will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
Dr. Martin Luther King was shot and killed on the balcony of his motel in Memphis.
Senator Robert Francis Kennedy died at 1:44 a.m. today.
7:45, August 21st. People who have heard the news about the invasion have assembled in front of the radio building to form a human barricade just to
Despite a broadcast appeal from the Czechoslovak president, Soviet troops had to fight their way into several key points in Prague.
The Psychedelic Spy, a thriller serial in five parts by Andrew Rizik. With James Aubrey as Billy Hindle, Gerald Harper as Sir Richard Snark, and introducing Lisa Rowe Beddow as Marianne. Part 1, Running Scared.
It was almost the end of the summer. I wasn't sorry. So far, 1968 had been a lousy year. In February, I'd been jacked in by a girl I trusted but shouldn't have. She said she was too good for me, and probably she had a point. I was drinking too much, and it was difficult to see how things could get any worse. But they did. Only a year ago, in 67, everyone had been into something good. Love and peace and a sort of folksy gentleness were going to change the world. Now there was a nastier, uglier feeling in the air. In July, a CIA colleague who had the antidote on most things said to me, "Relax, Billy. Enjoy the smell of tear gas. Violence is this year's flower power." I'd had enough. The job I'd been doing was making it impossible for me to sleep nights. So I took matters into my own hands and quit. But of course, nobody quits, really. By mid-August, I was running scared. The days were spent looking out for trouble. At nights, I slept with a gun under my pillow. In a couple of weeks, I'd be 35. I knew my youth had gone and I got nothing in return. I wanted a second chance, but whoever gets one. Then I met Marianne.
Hi there.
Hello.
I'm Marianne.
I'm Hindle.
Just Hindle.
Billy Hindle.
Marianne Slade. God, what a freak show. Do you actually know anyone here?
Not a soul.
Nor me. I make a point of saying hello to strangers, otherwise I'd have a lousy time.
Smart move.
I'm hoping you're going to be the best thing that's happened to me this summer.
Why not?
Let's level. Do you have a girlfriend? Anyone at all?
Nope.
I'm sick to death of silly little boys with fluffy hair and skinny legs. You look like the old-fashioned reliable type to me.
We met at a party, but we were both so miserable, neither of us cared what anybody thought. She was tall and thin, with deep green eyes and black hair. It fell over her face in strands, like she meant to say to everyone what a real, cool, poetical witch she was. I knew one day in the distant past she'd dreamt of being a model, only she hadn't counted on being an out-of-work model. And her vermilion lipstick sort of suggested she'd never really make it at anything much except suicide.
This music, love it or hate it?
I hate it.
I'm not mad about it either.
Yeah, rock and roll's been going downhill since Buddy Holly died.
It's too early to go to bed. Is there somewhere else we can dance?
I remember as I got up close, she was shaking slightly. She had that weird chain smoker's hypertension. And when she talked, she really opened up. My God, her whole life came tumbling out.
Are you at rock bottom? Because I tell you I am.
close to rock bottom.
Mine was a bad boyfriend. What was yours?
A bad girlfriend.
I hope mine rocks in hell.
Mine's called Stella. She hightailed off to some tiny island near Puerto Rico.
Drastic.
Yeah. Hope she never comes back.
I asked her if maybe I could fix her a drink, but she said no, she had something better. Standing against the wall in a dark miniskirt, smoking a half-inch joint, she had an out-of-breath anorexic beauty, and my idiot's heart went out to her at once.
You've never rolled grass before?
Nope, afraid not. Not my scene.
Hell, Hindle, where have you been?
I've been working for men in suits. My boss, he's so square, I'd say he came from a cubic womb. It's not really very funny. I just loathe my job.
Leave it. Walk out. That's what I always do.
Just like that?
Sure, why not?
Do your own thing in your own time.
Right on, partner.
I just did, about 6 weeks ago. Now I'm waiting for him to pick me up. They will, you know. These bastards always do.
Heavy. Definitely heavy.
She'd virtually gone, so I took her home. When she undressed, I was stunned by how thin she was. Afterwards, I asked her why she clung to me as if she didn't expect to enjoy anything anymore. And she said she'd had too many bad scenes with too many crazy men. Then she got up and fixed us both some eggs. I watched her. She had beautiful shoulders.
Scrambled eggs, all right?
Great. You look terrific.
Thanks. I look good because I don't eat. I eat virtually nothing. I smoke grass a bit. I drink quite a bit, but I don't eat. Except sweets. Anything with monosodium glutamate. Or chocolate. I'm wild about chocolate. People say, hell, how do you keep your looks?
How do you?
I don't know. My last boyfriend. He ditched me because he said I wasn't chic enough. I mean, I said I thought it might be quite good if we both got drunk occasionally. You know, loosen up, let it hang out. Say the things everybody's too damn cool to say.
Mine said them.
Yeah?
She said I ought to grow up.
Well, sod them both. It's odd. Only yesterday, 12 hours ago, I was sitting watching the news. And I don't know, I was thinking quite logically. What's the best way to go? Barbiturates? Jump under a tube?
Marianne, come and live here.
Can I?
Let's see how we get along.
I'd like that very much.
You're the best in years.
That's a long time, Hindle.
I know. I'm getting old.
Don't be silly.
I wasn't sure to begin with whether we were just swinging along on stacks or whether we decided to love each other. I lived on a beat-up, leaky old houseboat in Little Venice. Marianne moved in more or less at once.
It's great. I love it.
It leaks a bit.
Maybe. But the vibes are good. The place I used to live in. When we were bored, we just used to sit on the lavatory and shoot at the rats.
I guess I'll just have to make sure you don't get bored.
The last week in August, it was my birthday. I'm a bit sentimental about birthdays. I try to pretend they're not important, but I'm hurt if no one remembers.
You get your present later.
Yeah?
It's too early for presents. Here's a card.
Well, this looks a pretty thing.
It had a heart on it. It was pretty, all right. I snuggled up to Marianne and thanked her for a while, and then we both decided it was time to get dressed.
Oh, good point of raise.
The post came while we were munching our way to our cornflakes. Usually there was no post. I was choosy about who got hold of my address. But this morning there was a postcard. A picture with blue seas and white sands. A name I thought I recognized.
Somebody loved you.
Give it here.
What's up?
Marianne, let me see that.
Didn't you once know someone called Stella?
Yes, once. Can I see it, please?
Dear Billy, happy birthday. Wish you were here. Lots of sharks in the water. Love and kisses, Stella. What's it about?
It's a bad joke, lovebird.
I thought you two broke up.
Yeah, we did.
Well, what's it about?
Come to sunny Temptation Island. Temptation Island is paradise and small. Of all the islands scattered like tiny pebbles between Florida and Puerto Rico, Temptation is the loveliest and the least spoiled. Among the island's many exotic attractions are skin diving and shark fishing. Well, sod her. It'd really make her summer if I ended up inside a shark. I told you, it's just a bad joke.
I believe you.
We didn't feel sociable that night, so we decided to stay in and make our own entertainment. Marianne cooked. Some fancy casserole she'd learned about while modeling day-glow bikinis for a shady fashion house. I bought the booze. The shop on the corner used to wrap it in newspapers.
I'll be in the bath, lover.
Me too, given half a chance.
Tyndall, if that casserole boils over, you're in deep trouble. Got me?
Yep.
It was in tiny print, boxed in below some crap about kids who were burning their draft cards. U.S. Coast Guard search for missing science officer at government-funded weather installation in Caribbean. Suddenly, I was very sober. I wanted to see this crap before the D-Notice Committee got their paws on it. Stella had hurt me. Now it looked like she wanted to involve me in something I knew I didn't want any part of. No chance, I thought. I'm nobody now. I'm out of it. Out of everything. Curled up with a girl I adore. That's the way it stays.
Hello, Hindle. Sir Richard Snark.
Little place you got here, Hindle. I got a wardrobe at home and it's slightly smaller than this.
Oh, I say.
Champagne on ice. Table late for two. You were expecting me.
No, I wasn't, actually, sir. It's my birthday, and
many happy returns.
Thank you, sir.
Entertaining a young lady, are you then this evening?
Marianne's in the bath.
Oh.
Is there something, some purpose to this call, sir? I rather assume there is.
Yes, indeed.
Might I ask what, sir?
Go easy on the deference, will you, Hindle? I have a suspicious mind, and I don't care for sarcasm.
Hi.
How do you do?
This is Sir Richard Snark, honey. Don't worry, he's not staying.
Sadly, I'll be on my way shortly.
I can't talk, I'm stark naked.
Some people said Snark was the best chief anybody at Curzon Street could ever remember. Sure, he liked to ponce about in a Burberry and make with a clever chit-chat, but deep down he was as solid as rock and he looked after his boys. Others told the truth. I was one of them.
She doesn't like you.
She's too young to like me. I'm an acquired taste.
Sir Richard, we're blissfully happy, and if it's all the same to you, we'd like to be left alone to enjoy each other.
Officially, Hindle, you're absent without leave. But out of the kindness of my heart, I've decided to do nothing about it. We could bring you in and bust you any time we feel so inclined, but we don't, because one, we respect your exceptional skills, and two, we take the view you'll cooperate if things are explained properly. But quite frankly, my patience is running out, and I would like to sit down.
Of course, sir. A chair?
I knew it was your birthday, by the way.
You did, sir?
Your file's on my desk at the moment. There's another reason. We'll get to that in a minute.
Would you care for a glass of bubbly, sir, since I've got the bottle uncorked?
That would be pleasant.
I hope you like in champagne?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember drinking it out of a girl's shoe. Very attractive girl with very, thank you, attractive feet, I remember. On VE Day, somewhere in Knightsbridge. My word, those were... You got a postcard this morning, Endel.
Oh? How did you know that?
We read your mail. The postcard's in the public domain, I've always thought. Tell me. Was Stella Golding an old friend of yours?
I don't rightly remember.
Oh, you're straining my credulity, Hindle.
I'm a homicidal maniac, sir. So I'd watch your tongue if I were you.
Hindle, if you raise your voice to me, I do assure you, you'll regret it. Now then, the postcard. Let me refresh your memory. Dear Billy, happy birthday. Wish you were here. Lots of sharks in the water. Love and kisses, Stella.
Smashing girl, Stella. Only don't tell Marianne I said so.
Stella's disappeared.
What?
Missing Billy's killed. Well, you must read the paper, surely, even an ape like you.
Not anymore. I'm out of it.
She took off on a routine reconnaissance flight from Temptation Base on Tuesday evening, heading towards Bermuda. And nobody's seen hide a hair of her since. Her last transmission indicated she was completely lost. So I spent most of Wednesday night sorting out the D notice. The PM had to be briefed personally. I'm due back at the MOD in 2 hours' time. My natural good humour is, therefore, under considerable strain. Now, this is strictly business, Hindle. Except for that card, it's a perfectly plausible accident. Stella could have transmitted direct to London if something was wrong, or contacted our station in Singapore using the emergency access line, but she did neither. She maintained complete silence. But she sent you that card. And that, my dear fella, puts you in this right up to your ears.
I'm sorry, sir. I'd love to help you, but I can't. I'm out of it.
Snark left 10 minutes later. He knew he was getting nowhere. He snapped his fingers and his car appeared. He was used to getting his own way. But not this time. I was glad about that. Marianne came through with half an ounce of grass. Soon we were drifting pleasantly in space. Time came to a slow and graceful halt. The sheets wrapped themselves around us like magical flower petals. Then the question started.
Hindle?
Mm-hmm.
Who is he?
He's a lousy, rotten bastard, and I owe him a few bob.
Literally.
It's a metaphor.
Aww.
Used to be my boss.
He fired you?
No, not exactly. I did a bunk.
Why?
Hated the work.
And now he's come to get you.
Yeah. Sort of.
Are you going to be got?
No.
Hasn't he got the muscle?
Yeah. But I'm a slippery son of a bitch.
Hindle? What sort of work?
Oh, hell, man. Now stop gawping at me with those big eyes, because I'm not going to tell you.
Why not?
If things are fine as they are, I don't see why I should spoil them.
Hindle, you're being mysterious, and that's definitely not allowed.
Marianne, shut up.
Tell me, I want to know. Well?
Several months ago, I decided there were a few things in my life I'd really prefer to forget. So that's exactly what I've been doing. Forgetting.
Okay, Hindle. You've never asked me how many lovers I've had.
Now, wait a minute. How many have you had?
Mind your own bloody business.
Hey, look. Why don't we do something a bit silly and romantic?
I'm listening.
Motor down to Brighton for the weekend, huh? Spend some dosh, live it up a bit.
We just got into bed.
We can get out again.
Hey, this is wild. It's like we're the only people alive.
It looked like paradise. In front of us, the dawn oozing into the sky over a gunmetal sea. The breeze fooling around with Marianne's long, gorgeous hair. It was 5:10 and getting lighter each second. Half a mile away to our left was the long line of Brighton Pier.
When we've swum for a bit, and you've made love to me for a bit, we can have breakfast.
Sure, if we're both still in one piece.
Where are we staying?
Oh, some flop house called the Grand Hotel.
Race you to the water.
The sea was goose-pimple cold. The light danced around us like phosphorus. We swam hard for 20 minutes, and I picked Marianne up and carried her towards one of the bathing huts that lined the shore. The doors had his and hers painted on them.
Which? His or hers?
Hers. Much more comfy.
It was. Afterwards, we lay on our backs for a bit. Marianne smoked.
Kindle?
Hmm?
You're half asleep.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
What's the matter?
I'm tired.
Don't lie to me. Something's been eating you up ever since that man walked in.
What man?
Snark.
Oh, him. Screw him.
I didn't want to.
Man. I'm worried if I tell you anything, you'll realize what sort of a nut you've got yourself mixed up with and leave. I'm not a very nice person. Or a very reliable one. I've hung about with some quite unpleasant people. If I had my time again, there are quite a few things I'd do differently.
Me too. Have a puff.
Snark. He had some news I didn't know about Stella, the girl who sent me the postcard. She was killed a few days ago in an accident.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No, no. I hated her. I detested her. I used to think I was the selfish bastard who was bad with other people, but she was something else, I can tell you. She liked hurting people. Gave her some weird kick. When she jacked me in, she stacked all my clothes in her backyard. And after I turned up and got her a bit upset, she said, "Billy, you shouldn't be so immature. You're not the only one who ever had troubles. I think you should try to grow up." Probably right there. Probably why I'm single.
I thought men like you prefer to be single. You know, you have more fun that way.
Fun, maybe. Happiness is something else.
That sounds awfully serious and solemn, Hindle.
Does it?
Yeah, very.
Let's get married, shall we?
You mean it?
Yes.
Really mean it?
Yes.
Oh, come on, in the morning you'll change your mind.
Don't be soft, it is the morning. I just feel this may never happen to me again.
Same for me.
You sure?
Yes, perfectly sure.
I got you something.
What is this?
It's a diamond in a ring. Jumping the gun a bit.
It's nice.
It's not bad, is it? Put it on. Well?
Yes, definitely.
Breakfast at the Grand was everything the guidebooks say. Thin in the haddock, poached eggs, Oxford marmalade. Then we toppled back into bed, dozed till tea time. Marianne got up and ran a bath. I went downstairs to look for a paper.
My word, Billy boy. You are looking full of beans.
He was standing 3 paces behind me, blending into the plush velvet scenery.
He had some gorilla with him in a chauffeur's uniform who was about 7 foot tall and built like a brick outhouse.
This is Mason. He's my driver. Mason's ex-SAS, by the way. A bit of a rough diamond, I admit, but he's splendid in a tight corner.
Good to know you, Mr. Indu.
Love to say the same for you, chum. What do? Feed it bananas?
Don't make it tougher on yourself.
How did you find me?
You were tailed. It's one of the things Mason does best. Let's go for a little drive, shall we? Now, how's the delectable Marianne been? Enjoying the air?
We both love it.
Having a little lie down, is she? Resting those lovely long legs of hers.
Look, you bastard. I'm a free man with citizens' rights, and I'd like to be left alone to enjoy them.
All right, Hindle, let me tell you what I propose to do, if you don't toe the line. I propose to summon that awfully sweet girl of yours to my comfortable office in Curzon Street. And there, over afternoon tea, I intend to take her in unsparing detail through every single page of your long and really not very pleasant file. Get me?
Yeah. I get you.
Good. Because I have a tiny suspicion that when she finds out about the many charming things you've been getting up to recently, she won't even hang around long enough to give you the time of day, let alone share your bed or accompany you to the altar.
You disgusting man.
Oh, don't waste your breath. I'm paid to be. Oh, dear. You're a sentimentalist, Hindle. Like a lot of tough men. You dream of a quiet, ordinary life where violence and evil never raise their ugly heads. It flies against everything you actually are, but let that pass. I mean, if you want to dream dreams, who am I to criticize? But just to show you I'm not the ogre you think, I am also offering you a substantial inducement. Look on it as a wedding present, if you like.
What the hell can you offer that I could possibly want?
Well, I can tear up your file, finally and for good. You see, if you come through this one successfully, as I've every confidence you will, your file will be destroyed. We'll get you comfortably resettled, some undemanding job with an index-linked pension. I'll even throw in a color telly. And I'll do my damnedest to see you're left in peace, if that really is what you want out of life.
It is.
Well, a gentleman's agreement.
Gentlemen, do I qualify?
Oh, come on, don't quibble, Hindle. Everyone who works for me is a gentleman. We put the past behind us when we sign on the dotted line.
I'd like it in writing.
Oh, my dear fellow. You shall have it in my very best copper plate. So tell me what you know about Temptation Bay.
Not a lot. It's listed officially as a weather station. The rest is classified. It's based halfway between Florida and Puerto Rico on some dinky little island where not even the lavatories work.
The lavatories work fine, in actual fact, once you're safely inside. Here's a file. Yes, it's heavy, I'm afraid. We get registered to bind it, so it looks like the current Playboy.
Pity you missed the centerfold.
Well, Temptation Base is a joint endeavor, and it's funded by both our governments, us and the Americans, that is. It pays great dividends, or at least it used to. You ought to come across a chap called Jack Lightbourn. He's a scientist, pretty well known in the 50s. Macmillan thought highly of him.
I know the name.
Well, Temptation Base is his show. It was set up in 58 as a secret freelance research center. It began as a submarine experimental station that later branched out into cryptography, aeronautical design. Now, its strength is its size. You see, Jack Lightbourn runs it practically single-handed. He got the commission to build it from Eisenhower and Macmillan at the height of the Cold War. And since then, he's done wonders. He's developed an astronaut training program using pressurized underwater tanks. His decoders are reading the cream of the Soviet traffic into Latin America. He operates a discreet airborne surveillance service over Cuba and the Caribbean. I've been right through his file. He's clean as a whistle. He worked at Los Alamos under Oppenheimer. Did you know
that? I didn't, sir, no.
Helped to build the atom bomb. He's a very brilliant man. He's one of the best.
Sir, what's your problem?
Well, Temptation Base became involved in experimental aeronautics during the years of the Kennedy-McMillan special relationship. Because the problem we faced with our atomic weapons wasn't how to make them, it was how to deliver them. Missile systems, in-flight launchers, skyboat, I don't pretend to follow it, but Lightbourne does, you see, because he's a bit of a boffin. Oh, I say, would you care for an ice?
Not for me, sir.
Well, I must say, I'm very partial to an ice cream.
Yes, thank you.
Do you think you could put one on the top of the truck? Thank you. Well, we believe over the years Lightbourne's been a very considerable assistance to Lyndon Johnson and his cronies at NASA. We think this may explain why the President doesn't want Temptation Base shut down. No. Never mind the fact that one of the most valued surveillance people has unaccountably gone missing, probably dead. For them, the show must go on. These days, it's mostly American money that's keeping Temptation Base afloat. They're obsessed by space, aren't they, the Yanks? Man on the moon by the end of the decade. Well, there's an election upon us, Nixon or Humphrey. My money's on Nixon.
Tricky Dicky.
Oh, don't be dull. If he wasn't tricky, he wouldn't be fit to be president. I met the Cray twins once. Compared to most successful politicians, and I've come across a few in my time, they were rank amateurs. I'll give you an aphorism. Politics is legalized crime, or crime by consent.
You're dripping ice cream on your suit.
Oh, yes, damn. Could I borrow that handkerchief? Mine's silk. Now, look, the PM does want Temptation Base closed down. We can't do it diplomatically, so we're going in by the back door. Sabotage, possibly. Assassination hasn't been ruled out. And we still don't know what the late lamented Stella Golding stumbled on. If anything.
A nice young sailor, I should imagine.
You weren't fond of her, were you?
I wrote a report before I left. I suggested she was troubled.
We took you for an unreliable witness. Were we wrong?
I don't know yet, sir, do I?
All right, Hindle, get your affairs in order. I'll see you on Monday at 12. And, Hindle, don't keep me waiting.
Where the hell have you been?
Sorry, old girl.
It doesn't take an hour and a half to buy a bloody paper, for God's sake.
I know it doesn't. Make yourself a drink, because you'll need one after what I'm about to do to you. I'm having a large scotch.
Hindle, you look terrible. What's happened?
I told you I was unreliable. Well, I am.
Will you please tell me what this is all about?
Downstairs, about an hour and a half ago, I bumped into an old friend. A man called Snark. Remember him? Sir Richard Snark? Little red eyes and an old Etonian tie. Drink it, honey. It's the best emotional anesthetic anyone's ever invented.
Hindle, what's up?
Our engagement's off.
What?
I'm going away. I can't tell you where. I don't know how long. Months, maybe. I may not come back. Depends how things go. You can't write. There isn't an address. You could wait for me, I'd be touched by that, but I think it'd be off your head. I think if you know what's good for you, you'll find someone else. Someone a lot better than me. And marry them. You're one in a million, you'll get lots of offers. Anyway, I'm not worth the candle. Sorry about that.
Now I don't feel so good.
I'm sorry, Maya.
Oh, dear God.
Marianne had a capacity for grief that was more or less fathomless. I hoped she'd fight me so I'd feel better, but things didn't work out that way. She sat for a long time with her fist punched into her mouth and her knuckles deathly white.
You know what you said about me being the best girl you ever found?
Yes.
Well, I thought I'd found the best man. After a whole bunch of liars and skunks, I found you. I was wrong, wasn't I?
It certainly looks that way.
Oh, sod you, Hindle. Don't use that tone with me.
What'll you do?
I don't know. Take off to Martha's Vineyard, if I can raise the reddies. What the hell's it to you, anyway?
I'll give you the cash.
No! You definitely won't.
Fair enough. Is there somewhere I can reach you?
No.
Fair enough.
Yes. I'll leave a number. Don't you dare call me unless you've got a bloody good reason.
I won't. I'm sorry, Marianne.
Just take me to the station. It's Saturday night. It feels like a Sunday and Sunday.
I didn't think anyone could rip me open any longer. Nobody quite goes solo into hell. Most of us take somebody innocent along to hold our hands and remind us that we were once loved. Sure, if I wanted to blame people, there were plenty I could finger. I blamed Snark, Mason, and a man called Lightborn I'd never even met. But mostly I blame myself. I'd sprung this trap a long time ago and I hadn't the strength to break out. I drove back to London alone. It was Monday morning. Mondays are hell. I had to put in an hour or two on the small arms range before I saw the chief. Get Marianne out of my system. Fat chance.
Morning, sir.
I'll need a firearms, Chit.
I'll have to sign one of these little blighters.
Sure.
Lovely day for it.
Yeah.
Not lost your suntan yet, I see, sir.
It's been quite a summer.
Been on leave, have you, sir?
Not exactly.
It had been a hot day, a scorcher, when I decided 6 months ago to chuck this business for good. Most of my nightmares have been saturated in sunshine. When I see a cloudless sky, I feel the world's coming to an end. Only 6 months ago, it seemed to belong to another life. I'd gone to Oman as part of a secret offensive. In June 1967, Harold Wilson had finally pulled British troops out of Aden. Maybe politically it was the right thing to do, but it left Aden open to Soviet control, and the neighboring Arab states were kid glove hot. I had a job to do. The target was an Arab military bigwig backed by Kremlin gold. My orders were to fix the son of a bitch. When you're involved in killing another human being, doing it not out of hatred or passion, but because it's a job and it's got to be done, you don't get involved. The action seems merely technical. The target was riding in a fancy black Mercedes with smoked glass windows and the usual motorcycle goon squad. I swung the rifle in a slow arc, so the trigger seemed to squeeze by itself, the slightest, easiest touch. There was a sudden spray of impact on the front right side window. Glass snapping, disintegrating. I squeezed off a second round, then a third. A big hole punched through the window. Inside, reacting, the target started to move. There was a flash of dark skin. The head going down into a pair of uniformed arms. Then I felt the recoil. Then the head opened up, caught in mid-movement. A splash of some sort. A watermelon disintegrating. Beautiful. Exactly as I'd planned it. Everything converged. I packed my bags and left. When I got back to London, I submitted a written request to Snark to be discharged the service on psychological grounds.
What is all this baloney?
Can't you put me into a desk job?
No. I can't.
What's my medical say?
He's extremely fit.
Is that all?
It says you're tired.
I'm not remotely tired.
What the hell's the matter with you?
I've discovered I'm a psychopath.
Rubbish.
I enjoy the work.
That's reasonable, surely?
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. You're good at your job. You enjoy it. It's only natural.
I enjoy it too much.
What precisely are you driving at, Hindle? Is this a sexual problem?
I don't think so. I'd probably understand it better if it was.
Well, what then? A mental breakdown?
Maybe.
I don't believe you're having a mental breakdown, nor does the M.O.
Look, I blow a man away in the streets of Oman, and I don't feel a damned thing. Not a flicker. I could be cooking dinner or collecting stamps.
But a moment ago, you said you enjoyed it.
I enjoy being good at it. Do you know what a psychopath is, sir? A psychopath's a person who can accommodate two completely contradictory ideas and not bat an eyelid. Most big-time criminals manage it. Only I don't care to think of myself as a criminal.
You're not a criminal.
Oh, come on. And that's a technicality, isn't it, sir? If we're honest with ourselves.
Endley, you're not a criminal. You're a difficult man to work with. You're insubordinate. You're intolerant. You're arrogant. But on a good day, and there have been quite a few of them, you can outthink, outwork, out-theorize, and outdo virtually anybody I've ever had. So we try to accommodate you. But this old lad is just a whim.
No, it's not. I'll work here if you like, sir. But I won't do my old job.
I'm a patient man, Hindle, because I have to be. But you'll do as you're told, and you'll leave the thinking to us grown-ups. Now, do you understand?
No. I don't like the job. I don't like what it's doing to my character. I'll have to find something else to do. I'm sorry, sir.
After that, I quit. I cleared my desk, and for 6 months no one came after me. I spent a lot of time playing records and reading children's books. I became very fond of The Wind in the Willows. Also, I saw a psychiatrist. He was a very different bloke from the service doctor. He was quiet and old-fashioned, and he said my moral parameters had become confused. He said he didn't know how you could catch a criminal without sharing some of the characteristics of the criminal mind. I told him I thought I was mad. He said these doubts are the workings of a moral conscience. He gave me some pills. They made me lethargic, so I gave them up. Then I met Marianne. Now I'd lost her. I guess I knew it couldn't last.
Morning, Mr. Prendergast.
Morning to you, Mr. Hindle. Nice to have you back, sir.
I'd like 6 rounds rapid fire. Less than 5 in the bullet me go again.
Very good, sir.
I'm seeing the chief at 12, so I'm in a hurry.
Target up. Ready when you are, sir.
Everybody has been burned before. Everybody knows the pain. Anyone in this place can tell you to your face why you shouldn't try to listen.
In part one of The Psychedelic Spy by Andrew Rissick, James Aubrey played Billy Hindle, Gerald Harper, Sir Richard Snark, Lisa Rowe Beddoe, Marianne, Paul Downing, Mr. Mason, and Malcolm Gerard, Mr. Prendergast. Technical supervision is by Wilfredo Acosta. The Psychedelic Spy is directed by Glenn Dearman.